Welcome back to another episode of Dream Real. On the show today, we have Mr. Vernon Foster. Vernon is an entrepreneur, speaker, educator, traveler, podcaster, and DJ. This was my first ever interview, so you can probably tell I'm quite nervous at the beginning of the show. And it takes me a while to, you know, really get into my stride and find my place in the interview. But overall, I'm delighted with how it went. Vernon is a really cool dude. He's a real people person, and I really like him a lot. So this show is all about his journey, you know, about everything from what he wanted to do when he was a kid, his journey as an entrepreneur. We go over his morning rituals, stuff like meditation. And I really think there's a lot that people can take away from this, and I really think you're going to enjoy it. So Vernon and I were having a chat after the interview, and he said something that really struck me. We were talking about people, and he said, that's the one thing you'll have when you have nothing else, your friends and your family. And I think that really says a lot about Vernon as a person, and it was an absolute honor having him on the show. So if you like this, please share it with your friends. I'd really appreciate that. This episode is brought to you by Highland Tiger Mountain Tours, who run day and overnight tours up in the iconic Scottish mountains. It's all about getting away from your phone and computer and, you know, really just getting back out there into nature. So Peter has actually kindly offered his services and will be leading the National Three Peaks Challenge, which is an attempt to climb the highest mountains in Scotland, England, and Wales within 24 hours. We are taking on this challenge to help raise some much needed funds for the Dream School Project, which is a quest to raise $25,000 to help build a school with Pencils of Promise. It's taking place on the 4th of July, and I'd love it if you could join us. If you can't make it but want to help out, I'd really appreciate if you could make a donation, you know, big or small, it all helps. So thanks again for your support. I will now leave you with my first ever guest, Mr. Vernon Foster. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, let's go, man.
Okay, here we go. This is Dream Real, the weekly show dedicated to the people who want to follow their dreams and do more of what they love. My name is Mike McNally. My guest today is Mr. Vernon T. Foster II. Vernon is the host of the Event Supremacy podcast, the number one show for learning how to create, organize, and host kick-ass events. Vernon and his team have done over 100 live events. Vernon is also the chief podcast officer at PodParrot, which offers podcasting services for businesses. They do all the birdie work, so you don't have to. I like that. Vernon is also the co-founder of Alliance Events and Nightlife, which is Florida's premier dance music production and promotions company. Vernon, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to have you here. So you're in Orlando, Florida right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, man, this is where I kind of grew up, on the outskirts in a small town called Oviedo. There's the mascot of that town is a chicken, so you can kind of imagine that it's the small kind of environment that I grew up in. But I migrated a little bit more east to the city, or west, I should say, to the city, and yeah, I'm in Orlando proper, man.
Oh, that's cool, man. I remember my parents took me to Disneyland, Florida, a couple of times when I was a kid. And I remember, it's funny you mentioned the chicken, because all we ate was fried chicken. How did you cope with all the fried chicken?
Hey, man, I'm a brother, so I love fried chicken.
Oh, yeah? You know?
I guess that's a stereotype, but hey, yeah. I love chicken, man. Yeah, Orlando's a cool place. You know, it's at times it's overshadowed by Disney, and the magic that he was able to create. And, you know, talk about, you know, dreams and living out your dream. I mean, he's one of the most influential people, you know, in his time, you know, able to create this magical mystery place. And, you know, back then it was Orlando was just a bunch of cow pastures and fields. So, you know, Orlando's a cool place. And yeah, this is where the magic happens.
Yeah, that's amazing that you mentioned dreams there. One of the questions I want to ask you, you know, what was your dream as a kid when you grew up? You know, what did you want to do?
Ah, man, what did I want to do? Early on, I used to take stuff apart, and I used to tell my mom that I was going to be a fix-it man. I don't know what that is.
A fix-it man.
Yeah, and I used to put together like model cars and planes and. So I think early on I wanted to be a fix-it man. I still haven't figured out what that is, but as I got older and more into sports, I wanted to become a professional and collegiate athlete. And from there, it kind of just it's always been changing. I don't think it's ever been one thing. But if you ask me today, I would say I want to be somebody who is able to make a nice living and travel, but also still be able to make impact and not have to sacrifice my values and my philosophies. So
that's really cool, man. So when you were talking about being a fix-it man, was that kind of like building stuff with your hands? Like, is that the kind of, you like using your hands and stuff like that?
You know, I think it was, more so on the, not so much with my hands, because I really don't build a lot of things now, but you know, when I think about it now, I've always had this kind of creative side, right? Like I'm a natural visionary. I think I kind of see things that some people may not see, but it's a good thing, but also to my detriment, right? Because as an entrepreneur, we get shiny object syndrome. Brian G. Johnson, I listened to a great interview that he did, and he was saying, you know, entrepreneurs are like butterflies. You know, we're going from flower to flower and to shiny object to shiny object, but we never really start to build assets. So that's kind of how I've been, I think, over the last couple of years, but it hasn't been until, you know, last year, 2014, this year, where I've really kind of honed in on what I want to focus on. So I think to answer your question, Mike, I think it was kind of that creative kindred spirit within me that was coming out by me putting together Legos and model planes and cars.
Yeah, man. I remember I used to love Lego. We had this big box. Me and my friends used to play it all the time. But times change, don't they? You don't always want to continue to do what you wanted to do when you were a kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what about the sport you mentioned, becoming an athlete? What sport was that?
That was a good question, by the way. That was football.
Football, yeah.
I played organized sports all throughout. I mean, literally by the time I was like 6 years old, all the way up through when I graduated high school and going into college. And I really love football. I really love the teamwork, collaborativeness about it, and just getting on the field. And I was a defensive guy, so I was always delivering the blows. that was kind of my thing. But yeah, I mean, I was never a big dude. I think I weighed like 110 with my shoes wet. So I that kind of dream. You know, although it's I not to shoot anybody's dreams down, but like for me, it became less and less feasible as I got older, I think. And maybe it was a combination of me just like having less of a belief that I could actually compete at that level.
Yeah, I remember that. That reminds me, I used to my dream was to be like a professional golfer. So thinking back to a story, when I was 12, 13 years old, man, I thought I was going to be the next Tiger Woods. I had so much belief. I was like, I'm the man. And I ended up winning a few events. And then I got to go down to London for a final. And I got there.
And I just looked around me, and man, everyone was the twice the size of me. And I was so intimidated that I, in that round, I stopped believing in myself, because going in there, I thought I was going to win.
Yeah.
And when I saw that there was these other players, you know, who were, you know, much better than me, it was a real shock. And that really, you know, dented my confidence. And I guess that's when I start to, you know, lose that belief. But it is that belief that makes it so important. You know, you've got to have that belief in what you're doing.
It's everything, man. It's everything. Yeah, like it's you can, you cannot have, I mean, you cannot have the tools, you cannot have the money, you cannot have the right resources, but if you have the belief, that's, that will keep you on that upward trajectory.
Is that what you think is holding most people back, whether it be, you know, becoming an athlete or just starting a new business? Is it that belief?
I mean, I think it's a combination of things, but I would say belief is mainly an issue, and it's more, you know, on the end of fear, right? Like,
yeah,
we don't do a lot of things because we're scared. We feel like, you know, that we're inadequate, and, you know, that we could never achieve that, or, you know, what if I don't make enough money, or, you know, people think I'm stupid, or so I really think we're paralyzed by fear of, and that kind of inhibits us from taking action, which, you know, is a direct result of us not being able to achieve the things that we want.
Yeah, that's a really good answer, man. Because we just talked before the show, we were having a little chat. I asked, you know, do you still get nervous about these kind of, you know, these shows? And you said, yeah, you know, it's always there, but it's a good excitement. Like this for me, this is scary, me starting a podcast. But if I can do this, then, you know, I'm hoping that it'll inspire other people to do the same. So let's talk about Event Supremacy. What's the story behind it? Why did you start it? You know, what's the deal with it?
Great question. Well, Event Supremacy has kind of been like my baby. It was my second foray into podcasting. My first podcast I started in December, actually not December, I'm sorry. This was actually like April, March of 2013, and it was called Live by the Beat. I didn't mention this before, but kind of after that whole sports thing fell by the wayside, I got into music, and from then on my dream was to be this huge DJ, right? Like mixing on stage. This was in, you know, after I graduated high school. So it kind of, I went on this journey of just like becoming honing my skills as a DJ. And from that, I got into, naturally, I just got into events because you had to be in order, like people wouldn't let me play at their parties. And my other buddy too, my co-founder, like we'd go around these places and we asked promoters to like DJ at their parties, and they'd be like, nah, man, get the hell out of here. Like, we're not, this isn't what that's about, you know? Like, so we were like, all right, we're just going to start our own party. So we started our own party here in Orlando called Ignition, and it ran solid for about 3 years, man. And, I mean, we did back our first event we did was in, man, that was, actually, I left my job in December 2011. So I think it was February 2nd, 2012 was our first party that we ever did. And we were so nervous. We were like, we don't know what's going to happen. The GM then at the time asked us how many people that we think we would have, you know, because his ass was on the line. And we were like, man, we're lucky if we have like 200 people. He was like, if you don't have at least 1,000 people come through those doors, like,
wow,
you're not doing your job. And we actually ended up having, it was a sold out party. The first one we had 1,600 people. So from then on,
that's a party.
By the way, that never happens, by the way. People are like, man, you know, like, I want to do an event like that, but it's usually you lose your ass on your first event. Mm. So from there, it really developed into me and my partner and our other business partner creating a company called Alliance Events. That's what I co-founded back then. And then that naturally progressed into me doing business events, speaking at Toastmasters, becoming an award-winning Toastmaster speaker, and doing smaller meetups and business conferences. And that's really where was the genesis of Event Supremacy, because all those things that I had learned over the years, I kind of put together and brought it to the forefront of my second podcast, which was Event Supremacy. The first one failed. It was called Live by the Beat, and for many reasons that I won't go into, but Event Supremacy was the platform to help entrepreneurs. I say entrepreneurs, event organizers, and change makers, you know, people like you, to understand the power of what online events and in-person events can do for your business, to create an authority for yourself, as developing a community, and then creating transformations in people's lives. So those are the three, that's kind of like the premise, the foundation of Event Supremacy. And then it's just education. I have people on my show. I just had AJ Leone, the guy from Misfit Inc., who does Misfit Con. I've had Pam Slim, Chris Guillebeau. And you'll see, man, like, this is all stuff that you're going to have happen to you, but like, it's been a blessing because people are coming to me. I've gotten consulting gigs. I'm working on a product, and it was never really a thing where, I mean, I guess I had an idea of where I wanted it to go, but it just has grown into this awesome platform and place for people to come and me to connect with people. I mean, that's why I'm having this conversation with you, right, Mike? Because you probably heard my podcast, or you found it, or you tweeted at me, or whatever. And that's the power of podcasting, you know. And I guess in a long winded answer, that's what's behind Event Supremacy.
No, I love it, man. It's a great story. And what I like about it is, I guess what you did, you had this dream. You wanted to be a DJ, right? You wanted to be involved in music.
Right.
And you figured, you know, maybe I can't be a DJ, but I can be involved in the industry. And then all of a sudden your event took off. You got a break. And now you started this event podcast. Now you're in events. And you're doing what you love, which, you know, I think is awesome.
Yeah, man. And it's, you know, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, sometimes days are better than others. And then other times, like, you know, my foundations of what I believe gets shaken sometimes. And I'm like, damn, is this the right trajectory? Is this, maybe I should have, you know, stayed in my job and had a, you know, a nice income, like coming in regularly and not having to hustle and create products. But then I think about it, you know, at other times, and I'm like, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way, man, because this is what it's all about. Like, you have the opportunity in this day and age that we've never had up until this time before, to where you can literally go online, create a personal brand, put awesome ass content out there, and make a living from it. You know, like 25 years ago, 50 years ago, good luck, man. You're stuck in the same job, working, you know, slaving away, building somebody else's dream. And that's okay if that's what you want, but that's not what I wanted for myself. Yeah. You know, so.
Can I ask what was your job before you started all this?
Before I start, I was in real estate. I went to Florida State. You can probably see the banner over there in the back. That's went to Florida State, great school. Straight C student, majored in marketing and real estate, but I'm pretty sure I got an undergraduate in partying.
That's what I like to hear.
Some kind of degree in partying. But yeah, man, I went into real estate, worked for a great company. Great people, but you know, I the question I asked myself was this: would I be able to live with myself 40 years down the road from now, when I wake up and I have a wife and kids and the picket fence, will I be able to live with the regret of knowing I had the opportunity to live my dreams and not pursued them? Would I be able to live with that? And if the answer was no, then I needed to leave that job immediately. And I mulled over it for a while, and the answer was no. And I mean, I remember walking to my boss's office and saying, hey man, I'm I'm leaving, dude. I'm going to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make money, but I feel like this event thing is where like I need to be focusing. Like this music thing, I want to travel, you know, being able to travel was a big part of that. So yeah, man, that was what I asked myself. And, you know, it was a tough thing to have to do, but I took a step and I wouldn't have it any other way, man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
I love it, man. I love it. So you seem very confident. Was that always the case?
Nah, man. And I'm still not. I mean, there's times like you asked me, you just said this, you know, like, do I get nervous? Like, of course I get nervous when, I mean, I've done a ton of podcasts, like 70 something podcasts.
Yeah.
And I still get nervous. I think it's, like on the outset, like you see successful people and you're like, man, that guy, like he's fucking rock solid. Or like you can shoot him down with a flamethrower and he'll stand there, you know? But like everybody has situations and issues. They're still people at the end of the day. They put on their pants one leg at a time. So it's like, although you may see people that are successful, like you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Or so like my confidence and my foundation gets shaken up all the time, but I welcome it because it anytime that happens, it's growth. Like anytime that I have to go through something that like is that sucks and I have to like learn something or like it's pushing me, then like I'm going to grow. I know what's on the other end of that, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a better version of Vernon. So I'm okay with it and I embrace it.
Yeah. So it's all about, you know, like pushing yourself, going outside your comfort zone.
Absolutely.
That's where
bro.
The growth is, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's how you become confident. You don't become confident by just doing the same thing every day. You become confident by saying, you know, getting on a podcast for your first podcast. You know, you become confident by reaching out to people that you think wouldn't give you the time of day. You become confident by, you know, starting your own business and putting in the work and working, you know, 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
That's how you become confident.
Yeah, that's one thing I found. I've tried to reach out to so many people, and I'm actually amazed at how many people get back to me. Like, the response, people do have the time of day. They do respond to the emails. They will get back to you. So that has been a revelation for me. So there's a very special question I'd like to ask you. But we've actually talked about this already. We had a little chat about this on Twitter. I asked you if you had to write a list of all the things you wanted to do, what would the top three things be? That's the question. But I remember you said you wanted to visit Cuba and publish your own book. What would be the third thing? Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, dude, yeah. That's crazy. That was a while ago, huh?
Yeah, that must have been like about a year ago, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe longer, yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's awesome. The third thing that I would do. So I haven't been to Cuba yet. I haven't written a book yet, but that's in the works. The third thing I would say, this is something that I've been working on since I was like 25 years old, like this whole online journey, figuring out my way, what I want to talk about, how I'm going to monetize. So I think the third thing would be to basically have my life set up finally to where I can live my dream of, I've always had this, I wrote this down like 5 years ago, that by my 30th birthday, I want to basically take 6 months to 2 years to just travel around the world and work from my laptop. So that's been a journey that I've been on for the last 5 years. And I think that sometime next year, I'll be able to accomplish that, you know, when everything gets settled here. And that would, I'd say, would be the third thing.
That's cool. Where do you want to travel to, apart from Cuba?
Apart from Cuba?
And is that for the cigars?
I like cigars.
Yeah.
But I like cigars. But no, Cuba is actually an interesting place because it's kind of stuck in, like, it's obviously with the embargo and all of that, it's kind of been like in a time capsule. So when you go back, they're still driving cars from like the 50s. And so I appreciate that. as well as the local culture. But in terms of where I travel, man, I have a whole freaking list. It's like a bubblegum machine, you know. I'd definitely go to, I mean, Asia, Southeast Asia is on there. Thailand, there's a lot of nomads out in Thailand doing cool stuff right now. Indonesia, Australia. I'm going to Europe this June. I'd like to hit South Africa to see some friends down there. South America, I haven't been to. Just everywhere, man. I think the coolest thing about traveling is that it, like, it humbles you, man. It teaches you. It's the best teacher. It's the best teacher on the planet, because you see other people's situation and you realize that you have no reason to be ungrateful, I guess. There's so much gratitude that you learn to have from seeing people come from a different situation. And also, I think we become more accepting of the cultures around us. One of the things that I've always kind of struggled with is, like, why is the next man any different than me? You know, like, why should we look down on that person because they have different beliefs? And I'll venture to say it's because we don't try to understand that person's belief, you know,
yeah,
and their cultures and values. So,
I mean, I've just got back. I got back at Christmas. I've spent the last 2 years, you know, working in Australia. I got to go to New Zealand. Got to go to Indonesia. Like, amazing experiences. And it's going to Australia. Like, the way it happened, I finished university. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my mate, Scott, one of my good friends, called me up and he goes, "Mike, do you want to go to Australia?" And I was like, "Why?" And he was like, "Just to work, you know, why work here when we can work there?" I was like, "Okay, let's do it." And then, you know, he did everything. He booked the flights, he paid for it. And we just went out there and had just, you know, such a great time. So yeah, travel, like, that's, you know, it's still a dream of mine. There's so many more places. Now I've got a little taste of it. There's so many more places you can go, and it's just exciting. You know, it's the world so big.
You got the itch now, man.
Yeah. Travel bug. So next question. I'm curious, if the old you could see the new you, what would the old you say?
If the old, say it one more time.
If the old Vernon Foster, you as a kid,
yeah.
could see the new Vernon Foster, that's you now, what would he say?
Man, what would he say? So my younger self speaking to my older self, he would say, don't forget to have that same childlike creativity and that childlike ability to just to keep the imagination, right? Mm-hmm. Don't let the world fool you into believing that you have to conform to their standards. You know, have that creativity, have that dream and that you used to have when you were me. Because when you're a kid, when you think about it, you have this huge, like, imagination. Like, we'd build, like, these, we called them, like, tents and, like, playhouses, but we'd take, like, a broomstick, put a sheet over it, and we're in the middle of a military encampment, like, in the jungle somewhere, you know? But we're still in my room.
Yeah.
You know, so the imagination and the playfulness that you have as a kid, I think as we grow up and the world tells us you can't do this, you're not enough for that, you're not adequate for that, you don't have the money to do that, it starts to kind of put us in this little box until we can't move anymore.
Yeah, totally get
it. That's what I would say to my my older self, if the younger self.
Really good answer. I like it. So, do you have any morning rituals? Like, what does an average day look like to Vernon Foster?
That's an interesting question, man. That's a great question. There's this book. I'll recommend everybody pick this up.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Daily Rituals. I don't remember the author, but it basically talks about rituals from very successful people to artists to politicians, you know, Beethoven to Winston Churchill, you know. But for me, every morning when I wake up, most mornings, sometimes I'm bad at this. Like today, I didn't get to my ritual because I had to do an interview for a course, but I'm going to do it after the call. So I wake up, I wash my face, brush my teeth, and I take 25 to 40 minutes to practice meditation. Okay. So I go in a quiet room, whatever, sit there. And then once I'm done with that, I immediately go outside or into my living room area and I look over my vision book. And my vision book is a collection of basically the first page is a one page summary of my life sometime in the future, December 31st, 2015. And it says, I've done this. I have this much money. I've been able to impact this many people's lives. I've been able to accomplish X, X, and X. And it also has some other goals that I want to do, like traveling and places that I want to see. And it also it reminds me to ask myself, what do I want? So I say, there's a question in there like, what do you really want out of life? You know, how do you plan to get it? And what are you willing to sacrifice to do it? And that's preceded by a collection of pictures. A lot of people do this with a vision board, but it's a vision book. So it's places that I'd like to travel and I flip through it. And then the last thing I do is called a gratitude journal. So I take like 3 to 5 minutes and I write out three things that I'm grateful for that happened to me the day prior. That's my morning ritual.
That's really cool, man. I'd never heard of a vision book before, but I could see why that would work, you know, especially with the pictures of the places you want to travel. How long have you been doing that?
The vision book I've had since 2009, I think I created, 2010. It was December 2009, early 2010. I didn't start doing the journaling until last year, mid-year last year. And see what else. The meditation, again, that was last year too. I just now started getting into that.
What type of meditation are you doing?
Honestly, dude, I don't even know what it's called. I'm taking a yoga class to like get more knowledge, but I think it's like mindful meditation or something like. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not a tiny Buddha at all. But I basically just sit there and just the best way I can describe it is that I try to be sitting on a bank, looking at my thoughts on a river.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I get that. So, do you do any focus on your breathing at all?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. I totally forgot about that. Yeah. I try to focus on my breathing, but I try not to control like my thought process. I try to just let my, just unfiltered all come in, just blah, and then I'm just watching it. Like,
yeah.
If it's a parade, I'm, you know, just waving, you know, as my,
I get it. So any thoughts or emotions or sounds, you just let them pass by in the river.
Yeah, you just sit with it. Just sit with it.
Yeah.
And try not to I guess the idea is that like we're always doing something, right? Like we rarely take time to like just stop and be present. Mm-hmm. So if we do these things over an extended period of time, there's no it's weird because there's no, I guess with meditation, and I could be wrong with all this stuff, but there's no like end game, right? Like, you know, with we do certain things to have because we know we're going to get a result, and you may never get a result from sitting here and doing this meditation stuff. But I guess the idea is that you become more present over time because you're consciously taking time to stop and just be aware of what's going on versus being on your phone, checking Facebook, you know.
I think we email. All have that problem.
Oh yeah, it's hard, man. We're all guilty of it.
So this next question, this one's a personal one just for me. How do you best prepare yourself for a podcast or an interview if you're going to interview someone?
I'll use your show as an example. So the first thing I'll do is if I'm going to interview them, I will go and try to Google an article, a video, or something about them that recently happened, or find something that I can connect with them with.
Yeah.
Because people are going to, like, if you, like, the one of the things I asked you was, hey, where can I find more information about your podcast? And you're like, hey, it's just getting started. Here's the first video. And, I'm cool with that. You know, it's not a problem. But, you know, if you're going to have somebody on your show, you want to be knowledgeable about, you know, where they've been. And they'll appreciate that. Like, I appreciate the fact that you were like, hey, you know, a year ago, I asked you this question. And I totally forgot about that. You know, I'm stunned. And you know about Event Supremacy, and you know about my podcasting services company, PodPaired, and you, like, I appreciate that. And that, I think that helps establish a connection. Like, if you ever need anything down the road, I'm going to be more likely to help you out versus somebody who just had me on their show, or that, you know, I interviewed and I knew nothing about, right? Like, they're going to be like, fuck this guy. He didn't even take the time to, like, really understand or get to know who he was interviewing. So I'd say an article, a video, or something like that. I go to their Twitter. I see if they recently released a product or something like that that they can actually plug on my show, because that's something that's a way that I can help people come on, like, get them on and say, hey, well, I'd like you to come on, and then, you know, feel free to share whatever you're working on, because then they have, like, a good way of promoting their stuff. And I think finally just trying to find a way that connects to connect with something that we have a mutual interest in, like travel or music or something like that.
Cool. Thanks. And some really good advice there. So before I wrap this up, I want to, you know, be appreciative of your time. Do you have a few more minutes to answer some, you know, rapid quick-fire questions?
Let's go. Let's do it.
So what would you say is your biggest strength?
My biggest strength is people, man. I love people. I love people. You put me in a room, you can drop me off in Australia, in the outback with some Aborigines, and I'm cool. I'm cool. You'll come back and I'll be wearing, like, the whatever the local attire is, the local get up and barbecuing kangaroo meat or something, whatever they eat out there.
That's tasty, by the way. I recommend it.
Is it?
Oh,
you gotta try that, man. They got steaks?
Yeah, yeah. But when you cook it, it smells. But when you taste it's really nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on that same note, what would you say is your biggest weakness? Something you want to, you know, get better at?
I don't see, this is funny because I had this conversation the other day. It's like, people always say, like, focus on your, get better at your weaknesses, but I don't think you should get better at your weaknesses.
Okay.
I think you should focus on your strengths, because how much more better are you going to be by honing that skill and becoming fucking awesome at, like, podcasting, right? Or whatever, versus trying to do something that you're naturally not good at. I know that I'm naturally not good at, like, systemizing things and staying organized with things. And instead of me becoming better at that, I just hire people to do that for me. Like, it makes so much more sense. And even if you're not, like, let's say you're saying, oh, I'm just getting started out, man. I can't hire nobody, man. I'm a bootstrapper. Mm. Well, you have something that someone else needs. So maybe somebody wants to get started with podcasting, but they don't know how. But they have this, like, they're very, like, number driven, and they can do spreadsheets and they're data nerds and stuff like that. So why not swap services, right?
That's cool. So I guess what you're saying, you're weak at, you use your strength, which is people. So you connect with people to help you with your weaknesses. You just let them take care of it.
Absolutely. Don't even try. Why try? I mean, you can, I've done that, and I think it makes you, like, that's how you can lose confidence in yourself, right? Mm. Like, we were talking about this earlier, like, doing something that you're not good at and then failing and sucking at it. There's a difference between, like, you wanting to learn something and sucking at it and growing, and there's a difference between something that you just, like, you fucking suck at and you shouldn't be doing. Like, you just shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you go down that road of doing something that you're not, that's not your calling or your purpose, or you kind of, You can fall fast and you can lose confidence, because you can be like, why do I keep failing at this when I keep trying and I want to be good? And maybe it's because it's not what you're naturally gifted at. focus on your strength.
That's a really good advice. Have you read The Dip by Seth Godin?
I didn't.
Because in that book, he talks about the value of quitting. And he talks about if you can't be the best in the world at what you want to do, then why waste your time on it? You know, focus on your strength. So I guess that's, in a way, is the lesson you've learned without reading the book.
without having to read the book. Seth's a good guy. I mean, I love his work. Yeah. But I'd have to agree there because, I mean, how much more time? Think about this. How much? Okay, let's say I'm like, all things equal, if somebody's doing something that you're struggling at better than you, but you're good, like they're always going to be here, right? You're mm-hmm. always going to be here no matter how much you try to get here. If they're just naturally good at it, there's nothing that you can fucking do to get there. I mean, you can try, you can maybe get right here, right? Yeah. But they're always going to be better than you versus like if you're naturally gifted at people or speaking or systems, like why not focus on what you're good at, man? Like you, because you're going to be that guy and everybody else is going to be down here. So that's my take anyway. People may disagree.
That's great advice. Who inspires you?
It's a good question, man. One, my dad, my father, he was a military hero who was killed in action over in the Persian Gulf in 1987 aboard the USS Stark. So he left a legacy for me and my brother to fill. Every day I wake up, I'm just like, how can I be a better version of myself to get to that level? Because, you know, people have come into my life that knew that I didn't know that knew him and that would say stuff to me like, if it wasn't for your father, I don't think I would be the man I am today. So for me, that's just like, that gives me pretty big shoes to fill and live up to. And I also think, my family in general, like I want to be able to do more. I want to be able to give more. And third, I would say humanity, because like I feel like there's so much more that we could do as a human race that we're not. And I feel like for a while I used to be like, man, I don't think I want to make a bunch of money, because people with money, just all they do is blow it on cars and booze or whatever. And like, I think I've gotten to a point where I've like accepted the fact that it's okay to make a lot of money, because then you can have more influence and impact. So I think the third thing is just being driven to do better things for humanity. So my dad, my family, and humanity in that order.
Wow, man, that's really powerful stuff. I can tell how much, you know, you really love your family and how much that motivates you, which
thanks,
I love.
Thanks, bro. Thanks.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
That's a hard one, man. I can answer all of them except that one. The best piece of advice. I don't know if it's the best piece of advice, but it's, I would say it's the most recent piece of advice. And it was kind of great timing for me. I had AJ Leon, the CEO, the guy behind Misfit Inc. He's also the guy who heads up Misfit Con. And we were chatting after the podcast and I was like, listen, man, I just want to ask you something. Like, cause this guy went from trading bagels and he went from trading website design for bagels and accommodations in Europe 6 years ago to now working with, you know, multi-million dollar companies like Citrix.
Wow.
You know, doing client work for these huge companies. And I'm just like, man, like, I got to ask you this question. Like, where's the line? Where do you draw the line between chasing your passion or whatever and your goals and, you know, kind of doing what kind of going, making a lot of money? Like, I feel like sometimes it's either make a shit ton of money or like focus on your dreams and your goals and what you want to achieve. And eventually you'll get there. But, you know, what he was saying is that, you know, like the best advice that he gave me, or, you know, I think that he's gotten was to to just be yourself, because it's harder for people to copy that. Like when you're a USP, your unique selling proposition or your unique selling point is you. When it's when you're being who you are and you're not trying to fake it or you're not trying to copy what other people are doing, and this kind of goes back to like focusing on your strengths, like there's nothing that anyone else can do that's going to be able to copy that because you're the fucking best. Like yeah. there's only one version of you, God or whatever you believe in or evolution or whatever. Whenever you were created or came into an existence, you are the only you. There's no one else that's going to be you until you die. You know, so why not focus and hone in on exactly who you are, and everything that you do, build and create just comes from that, right?
Right.
So I think that's probably the in the recent best piece of advice that I've gotten. So
good stuff. I guess it's a piece of advice we all hear time and time again, you know, be yourself. And some people hear that advice and they're like, but I don't like myself, so why would I be myself? So it's kind of one of those ones when it doesn't matter where you are now, what you've got to think about is where you want to be in the future and become that person. It's the journey, you know, becoming that person, who you are truly.
Yeah, and to add to that, Mike, I believe that you're completely 100% right. And this is kind of going back to the conversation I had with AJ. When he quit his job, when he walked out of his office weeping, you know, he told his boss, no, he wasn't going to take this huge salary because he realized at that point that he wouldn't be able to make any impact on the world and that his existence would be limited to this office making a ton of money for the rest of his life. So when he left his job, he took the time with his wife to write out everything that he wanted for, like, how he wanted his life to look. I think he said not 1 year because that was too short, not 5 years because that was too overwhelming, but the like for the next 3 years, 3 years from now, what do I want my life to look like? And he wrote down that he'd want to basically contribute, I think it was like 30% of his time or something like that, to charitable causes and foundations, and humanitarian aid and stuff like that. He'd want to travel like 60% of the time, and like all of his businesses would basically be built around that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I absolutely agree 100% with what you just said there. You have to have you have to kind of look into the future of where you want to be, right? And say, this is what I want to have. These are the people's lives I want to affect. This is the value that I want to bring to the world. And then you have to kind of come back to the present and say, okay, what do I need to do in order to put the steps in place to get there? And everything needs to dictate that, you know, that roadmap.
Yeah. It's like, have you read the book Start With Why?
I haven't, but I've heard of that.
It's what you're talking about. Once you figure out where you want to be, your why, your purpose, from everything you do leads to that why, no matter how small the steps are. And I guess it's all about that journey. So one final question before we wrap up. How can people find out more about you?
Yeah, that's a great question. They can find my blog and my podcast at eventsupremacy.com. I really like one-on-one engagement. And as I said, I'm a people person. So if you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's at Vernon Foster. That's VERNONFOSTER, like the beer in Australia, but I don't get royalties. or Instagram too. Instagram is Vernon, VERNON underscore Foster, FOSTER. So, I mean, mainly just if people want to build I like people. I value people over things. So if people want to have a relationship with me or contact me or reach out, hit me up on Twitter or Instagram. If you want to check out my work, you can go to eventsupremacy.com. If you want to look at some of my podcasting services, that's out of my business. What we offer with PodParrot, you can do that by going to podparrot.net.
Great stuff, man. So thanks again for being so honest and, you know, generous and open with your time. And thanks for sharing your journey with us.
Hey, hey, bro, thank you for allowing me to be your first interview, man. You're gonna look back on this like 2 years from now or a year from now and be like, that was my first one, man.
So I think I'm going to wrap it up again. Again, it's been a lot of fun. I'd love to have you on the show again. We should do a round two sometime.
Let's do it.
Yeah, like we say here at Dream Real, it's about you and Vernon. We wish you all the best in the future, and thanks again.
Next week on Dream Real, we have the co-founder of Africa on the Ball. Yes, that's right, Mr. Andrew Jenkins will be on the show. So look forward to bringing you that show. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.